The household varied a good deal in their reactions to the sudden appearance of a wolf cub in their midst. Procyon was doubtful. The newcomer had the wolf smell. Uncle Aquila scarcely noticed his arrival, being at the moment too deeply absorbed in the siege of Jerusalem, and Markipor, the house slave, and Stephanos looked on him rather askance. But Sastica presently brought Marcus three brown honey cakes in a napkin and a chipped bowl, which she said he might have for the little cub's feeding bowl. Marcus accepted both gifts with becoming gratitude, and when she had gone, he and Esca shared the cakes between them. He no longer minded Sastica quite so desperately as he had done at first. A few days later, Esca told Marcus about the days before his ear was clipped. They were in the bathhouse when it happened, drying themselves after a cold plunge. The time that he had spent in the plunge bath each day was one of Marcus's greatest pleasures. He could forget about his lame leg. But drying himself, he was suddenly sick with longing for the old splendour of his charioteering days. At that moment, as though called up by the intensity of his longing, a swiftly driven chariot came whirling up the street beyond the bathhouse wall. "It will be Lucius Urbanus, the contractor's son," Esca said. "Listen to him. He's not worthy to handle horses." "So Esca also is a charioteer?"
"I was my father's charioteer," Esca said, "a long time ago."
"Esca, how did your father's charioteer come to be a gladiator in the Kaleva Arena?" Esca sat silent for a moment.
"My father was a clan chieftain of the Brigantes," he said at last. "I was his armor-bearer until such time as I became a warrior and my father's charioteer. The clan rose against our overlords. We have been a thorn in the flesh of the legions since first they marched north. We rose."